Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Ash Bros podcast. So excited to be here with you guys right now. I'm Todd with my brother Peter, of course, here. And man, how are you doing today, man?
What's up, everyone? Glad to kind of be back on this thing, getting it going. We got something pretty good for you guys today.
Yeah, it's going to be a jam-packed episode. And it's going to be, you know, us talking about our top five players at each position, basically, in the NFL. So we're going to go down. First, we start for our top five quarterbacks. Then we're going to go to our top five skill position players, which encompasses wide receivers, running backs, and tight ends. Then we have offensive linemen, defensive linemen slash edge rushers, off-ball linebackers, and then our top five defensive backs to round out everything. So it's going to be a good one. You ready for it or no?
It's tough, man. It's going to be a lot of people. Yeah, it's a lot of people in one. It's going to be tough.
We'll see, man. I mean, knowing you, I feel like you're going to have some surprising picks, but I guess we'll have to see, right? So
we're going to see, man. I don't know how my list is looking. I feel like yours is going to be a little bit better, but we'll see.
But I guess to start off, we'll start off here with our quarterbacks here, our top five quarterbacks. We'll start from number five, and then we'll obviously work our way up to our top players at each position here. Peter, would you like to start us off and go first here?
Yeah, so this one's a little tough. It took me a while to figure out the quarterback stuff. I'm not going to lie, I was up and down all over the place, but I figured I had to kind of just move around and eventually pick a guy. So at five, might be interesting to people. I think it's a little tough, but I went Jalen Hurts. Matthew Stafford is just outside my list. I went Jalen Hurts just because I think he might be the most underrated player in the league. He won a Super Bowl MVP, and as great as Matthew Stafford was, he looked horrible those last two or three weeks of the season. I thought he was done. Obviously, that wasn't the case. He looked good in the playoffs, but Hurts to me is five just because of what he's done, his body of work. Can't disrespect a Super Bowl MVP. What a player. At four, I got Joe Burrow. And right, a lot of people would have him a little higher. Some people might have him at three, maybe two even. For me, as great as he's been, I just think the other guys ahead of him just have a bit more of a compelling case, fair or unfair. They just, even though with the season that he had, right, coming off that wrist injury, almost 5,000 passing yards, leading touchdowns, all that stuff, still had to put him at four. At three, I got Lamar Jackson. Now, here's the thing. Like, in my opinion, it should have been a co-MVP last year. He's still obviously one of the best. The guy's incredible. He's dynamic. The one thing just stopping him from maybe being ahead of these two guys is the playoff stuff, unfortunately. Just in the playoffs, it's just one or two mistakes or one or two things away that end up costing the team. And I'm not saying it's all him. I'm just saying, unfortunately, that's just the boat he's in right now, right? He's got to get over that hump. At two, I got Josh Allen. And a lot of people had that on that one. He's a reigning MVP. I understand. Again, it's a few things. It's not always his fault in the playoffs. It really isn't really his fault at all in the playoffs. He plays great games, but he just happens to run into one guy, and that's Patrick Mahomes. He's my number one. He is who he is, man. People can say whatever they want. I know he had a bad Super Bowl performance. The guy's a three-time Super Bowl MVP, three-time champ, multiple MVP winner, six-time Pro Bowler. It's Patrick Mahomes, man. We can say what we want to say about certain guys. In my opinion, when you look at the best in the world, and maybe there's a guy who's winning MVP and a guy who's the best that season, Mahomes is, in my opinion, the best dang quarterback in the league, maybe the best player in the league. He's just that good. So that's my top five, Jalen Hurts, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and Patrick Mahomes rounding it up at one.
All right. So, I mean, those are some interesting picks there. Honestly, I agree with you with, like, most of what you said there, especially with, like, Lamar being at number three. Like, statistically, the season he had, you know, I would say, like you said, he should have been co-MVP, honestly, with Josh Allen. I think they both equally deserved it for the seasons they had. But yeah, I probably put him just below those guys. But I guess going to, you know, my top five. At number five, I have Matthew Stafford. I was kind of debating with you, or debating kind of like you two, with, you know, Jalen Hurts maybe being in that spot. Or if not Jalen Hurts, even some other guys. I think that number five spot is, like, wide open, honestly. Like, I think Mahomes, Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, like, whatever order you have them in, those are your top four. For, like, basically, I think, like, for everybody, and then the number five spot is kind of wide open. I can even see guys, people making cases for, you know, players like even Justin Herbert because of his talent, or CJ Stroud's been great. He's, you know, pretty solid his first 2 years. Jaden Daniels only played 1 year, but he was really good, obviously, in rookie year. But I got to go with Stafford just because of his, not only his veteran leadership and the fact that he has a Super Bowl, but just as a thrower of the football, man, he made some throws even last year that went to Puka Nacua down the sideline when they're playing against the Bills. That was just insane. Like the passes that he can make, the arm angles that he throws from. Him and Jalen Hurts is really close. It's just that if I had to pick one player, just to, like, you know, lead my team down the field, give any drive, I go Stafford. Number four, I got Joe Burrow in the same spot as you. Obviously, he was fantastic last year, like you said. I just think his durability and the fact that he gets injured quite a lot, I got to put him a little lower than those guys. That's, like, my biggest thing with Joe Burrow. And, of course, he hasn't made the playoffs the last 2 years either, although, you know, last year was obviously not his fault. That Bengals defense obviously is... it was bad, and we'll see if they can improve this year to actually give him a chance to go and win again, like we saw him a few years ago get to the Super Bowl. Number three, I got Lamar Jackson, just like you as well. Guy's awesome. Just, I want to see him get it done in the playoffs, and I think he can do it. You know, he hasn't been horrible necessarily in the playoffs, like, especially like his last few outings, but I feel like he can definitely improve and, you know, help the Ravens get over that hump. Peyton Manning was in a similar position as well, right? So, definitely time for Lamar to still win there. Josh Allen, I got him at number two. Sorry, Bills Mafia. You know, he's an awesome player. I love Josh Allen, you know, watching him play. One of the few players in the league where I'm like, man, if there's one player I want to see win a Super Bowl, he's one of those guys. I just couldn't put him over Patrick Mahomes, who's at my number one spot, just because all Mahomes does is win at the end of the day. And I can't take anybody over him. I just feel like that'd be a disservice to him and what he's been doing throughout his whole career so far. So those are my top five.
Yeah, and that's the thing about Mahomes. It's just really tough to... I don't know how you... Like, you could dethrone him, obviously. Like, Josh is right there, and so is Lamar, even if we're being honest. But, like, it's just... The body of work, man. It's really tough. I guess we'll transition to the skill position players. And we'll go from, I guess, 5-1, just like last time. So I'll start quickly with my honorable mention. I got Christian McCaffrey. I got Brock Bowers and Derrick Henry as my three honorable mentions. Brock Bowers was really fighting to be my fifth guy because I think he's the most, in my opinion, the most mismatchable guy in the league. There's a bunch of stats that back that up. Really don't know what to do with him, but I think next year he'll be right there. At five right now, I got Jahmyr Gibbs. I think he's the most dynamic runner in the NFL. You watch him play. I know the stats don't necessarily say he's the fastest guy. I know guys have hit higher miles per hour in terms of like 22, 21. But when you watch him play, it's kind of like to the naked eye. It almost seems like you're literally watching Sonic. That's why I think they're Sonic and Knuckles with David Montgomery. But it's so crazy how fast he accelerates. And for me, skill position players, like, I know it matters with how you produce as well. I know he's just getting started. But for me, the truly athletic guys, I'm really biased to the athletic players. And he's just an absolute freak. And that's why I have him at five. Four, I have Justin Jefferson. A lot of people will be like, that's a little low. But as great as he is, as great of a player he is, as talented he is, I think the other three guys just do a little bit more at what they're supposed to do. And a guy like Justin Jefferson, obviously, you know, his resume speaks for itself. Most receiving yards through his first 5 years in NFL history. Guy's incredible. He's all pro. We know what he is. You can make an argument he's the best receiver in the league, but he's at four for me. At three, I have Bijan Robinson. This is where it gets interesting. I think he is, in my opinion, the most talented running back in the league. Maybe even arguably the most talented skill position player. It was hard for me with him at three and another guy at two that I'm going to get to in a second. I feel like Bijan can just do everything, right? There's not one thing he can't do on a football field. I feel like if they asked him to throw the ball, he could do that. Like, he can run, catch, jump over anybody. Basically do whatever you want him to do. And that's why I have him at three. And honestly, he could easily be number two. It just was really hard for me to go after, I mean, put him on below this guy. And at two, I got Saquon Barkley, a.k.a. Shayshon. I mean, 2,000-yard rusher, MVP candidate. He comes into the best offensive line in the league, and people had their doubts about him, saying he's injury-prone and stuff like that. Well, first time he's behind the best offensive line in football, or arguably the best offensive line in football, you see what he does. And, I mean, it's hard to just go after a guy who's, again, just that good. What doesn't he do right? You know what I'm saying? Or wrong, sorry. Like, he does everything perfectly. Everything you want him to do, he does. And that's why I like Saquon so much. At two, at number one, I got Ja'Marr Chase, right? Triple crown winner. And he's another one of those players where I think again, you just give him the ball and he can do whatever you want him to do, right? He can catch it, he can run it. I feel like they never use him on jet sweeps, but he could do that if they wanted him to. He's the type of guy, you line him up in the backfield, he could still do stuff out of the backfield, even though they don't really use him that way. He's just that dynamic and athletic with the ball in his hands. That's why I have him at number one right now. So those are my top five skill position players.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs, man, that guy's a monster. I mean, last year he had, 20 total touchdowns. It was not fun watching the Packers play against that guy. It won't be fun this season either. So he's definitely a monster. So I understand. Honestly, he was one of the guys I was thinking about to put in my top five. But one of my honorable mentions as well, actually, I didn't put him in there. Might be a little surprising to some people, but George Kittle. He is obviously older. You know, he's, 31, 32 at this point. But speaking of doing it all, I mean, he can literally do it all. He runs great routes. He has good hands. He's still probably the best blocking tight end in the NFL as well. And he's been just such a great player for the 49ers over the years. And he just got rewarded, too, with a new contract extension. So, you know, and definitely deserved that. So George Kittle was someone I was thinking about putting in there. Puka Nacua was another person as well, just because of his talent, his ability to block at the receiver position. And then he can do everything. He can run past you. He has good speed, runs great routes, and he makes some of the most spectacular catches you ever make, or you ever see. Like, even that one he made against the Eagles in the playoffs on that last drive, Stafford just threw it up, and I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, he's a monster. So, yeah, he's built different for sure. So, but my top five, number five, I got another receiver. I got A.J. Brown at number five. He's a matchup nightmare. He's one of those guys where it doesn't really matter who's across from him. At the end of the day, I'm going to take him over, you know, the cornerback that's defending him, because he has that amazing speed. You know, he's arguably one of the best, if not the best, yards after the catch receiver in the league, which is scary. The guy's, you know, a huge receiver. What is he, like 6'3", 6'4", 220 pounds, and he can run fast you, run past you like a running back. So, kind of tough there. Also has good routes as well, good route runner. And then also to mention, it feels like every single time it's like a 50-50 ball, he's going to come down with it. So for him, it's not really a 50-50 ball. It's more of a 60-40 ball with A.J. Brown there. So I put him at number five there, excuse me. But number four, I actually have Derrick Henry. That guy's absolutely a monster. Peter, obviously you would know this. You had him in fantasy football last year. And he was, 1,921 rushing yards last year, and 16 touchdowns with the Ravens there. Him and Lamar Jackson, good luck going against those two guys in that offensive backfield. So I got to go Derrick Henry at number four there. Even at his age, I think he's going to continue to be good for another 2 to 3 years. Number three, I got Justin Jefferson. Love watching him play when he's not playing the Packers. When he's playing the Packers, not fun. But, he's absolute stud. You know, as soon as he came in the league, he's one of those guys. You just knew he was going to be a star. He had over 1,500 receiving yards last year. And he's done it now with Kirk Cousins. He's done it with Sam Darnold. I think he's going to do it again with J.J. McCarthy this year in Minnesota and have a great year. Number two, I have Ja'Marr Chase. The guy is a monster. Like you said, triple crown winner. He does it all. Honestly, I couldn't put him at number one. Just because of the season that, Saquon Barkley had. That guy is, I don't even know what to say, man. It's one carry. All it takes is one carry and he's gone. 80-yard touchdown, 70-yard touchdown. Doesn't really matter. Like you said, you know, behind the Eagles offensive line, we saw his talent even more, being able to be showcased there. So I got to go with Saquon number one. He's a scary guy to go up against. So,
I mean, it's hard to go against Chayshawn, man. I just it was tough for me too. Like, it just, when you watch players like that, and that's why I was so big again on Gibbs and Bijan. I think they're, I don't know if they're that caliber in terms of breakaway speed. Well, Gibbs definitely is. Bijan, I don't know if he is, but those guys are just such athletic freaks, right? And it's like they can do something, and you can't. After Saquon, jumping backwards over a guy. You look at those guys, and you're like, how do you even get? Like, you get surprised at first, but then you kind of go like, these guys are just insane. So it's tough, man. Straight up. It's nothing much you could say. I guess moving down to the offensive line, this is what my favorite kind of segment is now, joking, but either where it gets nasty, mean in the trenches. These guys are all dogs. Honorable mention real quick, I got Jordan Mailata and I got Lane Johnson, both from the Eagles there, and I got Tyler Smith from the Cowboys. Obviously, he's also a dog. But, I mean, these five, I feel like they're almost undeniable. Again, it's just arguments here. At five, I got Landon Dickerson. And I know a lot of people on the offensive line likes Mailata. People like Johnson. I think those two guys are very good. I think they also have been beaten a lot. I've seen them go outside a lot, or a decent amount of times. Whereas Dickerson, he's the one stable guy. If you notice, when he got injured last year for the Eagles, their offensive line was kind of not the same. Like, it was still good, but you could tell they had to move guys to center and move things around, everything like that. Landon Dickerson, you can play him at center, you can play him at guard. And the biggest thing about him is his ability to improvise. I never forget in the Super Bowl, he was blocking someone in the middle of the field. There's a clip. But in the middle of the field, he blocks a guy, and then he no-look spins around and finds the blitzer or the other D-tackle that comes in. It's, like, ridiculous. Like, who even thinks of doing something like that on the offensive line? That's, like, a defensive lineman move. But it's so incredible. I can't really even explain it. You got to just see the video for yourself. For me, he's the best in terms of improvising offensive lineman. He can basically just do everything you need him to do. He's good on both ends. You can play him almost everywhere except for tackle. Love the guy. At four, I got Creed Humphrey. As much as we give Mahomes all the credit, and as good as Mahomes is, he has the best idea in the league. It always hurts me and you because we could have had him. We got Josh Myers instead, and I like Josh Myers. But man, this is the best idea in football. He basically almost sees out every blitz, really good at picking up protections, does all the dirty work. He's also a nasty center, which a lot of centers just don't have. Most centers snap the ball and are just getting ready to help someone, a double team, or block someone else. He really gets in there. That's why I love him as well at four. At three, I got Penei Sewell. He had a 1.54% blown blockage rate. So he only blew 1.54% of his blocks last season. That's the best in the NFL. He's incredible. Again, with Sewell, my thing over these next two guys is that as good as he is, he has a great offensive line. It's a little easy when you have great guard protection like that, and you can basically get helped up by great center play. Right? It's a little different, but he's really good. At number two, I have Quentin Nelson. Doesn't play for the greatest offensive line right now, who's being honest, but I think he's the best pure blocking guard. He was top four or five, I think, in both run and pass metrics for guards, according to PFF, who sometimes I don't like, but he had the best pass blocking and run blocking metric guards around all the league. So for playing in such a bad team, and to be honest, no offense to the Colts, a team that's kind of rebuilding-ish right now, he's still holding it down. And at number one, I have Tristan Wirfs. I think he's the best tackle in football. He can play on the right side and the left side, as we saw early with Tom Brady, play on the right. Now he moved to the left. It's seamless for him. He's an all-pro there. He has the best interior arm technique. So basically, whenever he gets your hands on you inside, you basically are cooked. The only way you beat this guy is by basically speed rushing him and hoping that he makes a mistake. But he's such an athletic freak that even if you do that, if he gets his hands on you the right way, you're basically taken out of the equation. So that Tampa Bay offense has taken leaps and bounds. And a lot of people give credit to Liam Cohen and some of the guys in Baker Mayfield. But with him being able to move so seamlessly back and forth, they've been able to build that offensive line so well. And that's why he's my number one offensive lineman.
Wow. I'm not going to lie. I was a little surprised when he said Landon Dickerson. I think he's obviously an awesome player. He's an all-pro player. I just never really hear people like you said, like I always hear people mention Mailata and Lane Johnson, who is in my top five. But Leonard Dickerson, yeah, he deserves a lot of credit. Like you said, like his IQ and what he did, even at Super Bowl and just in general, like he's an awesome player. So I don't know if I would say that's a hot take, but it's definitely like a new take, I guess, or interesting take, I would say. But yeah, for me at number five, I got to go with Trent Williams, just because of, you know, his accolades, what he's done throughout his career. He is up there in age. You know, he's in his late 30s. I'm assuming he's probably going to retire in the near future. And I'm kind of surprised the 49ers didn't draft a left tackle or a tackle in the draft. But I'm not going to throw any 49ers slander. That's not what this episode is about. But even though I'm really tempted to do so. But yeah, I think Williams, he's a tremendous player. I think without him, that offensive line would honestly fall apart. Because they don't really have any, I would say, really above average offensive linemen. Really on the roster right now outside of him. So he's an awesome player. He's going to be a Hall of Famer one day for sure. Number four, I got Creed Humphrey in the same spot that you had. My opinion, he's the best center in the NFL. Spectacular player, great at run blocking, great at pass blocking, and really just sets the tone for the Chiefs and even when they don't have, you know, it's not like the Chiefs have a guy like Saquon Barkley or a running back like that. You know, the running backs are solid, you know, Isaiah Pacheco and whatnot, but having a guy like Humphrey in the middle of their offensive line really helps them a lot. Number three, I have Lane Johnson. I think just his resume, everything that he's done for the Eagles, still a tremendous pass protector. You know, does he jump offside, you know, slightly, you know, at the snap? You can, you know, there's some controversy there when you, you know, look closely at that. But he's a tremendous player, I think, still overall. He gets the job done, run blocking and pass blocking all the time. So I got to put him at number three. At number two, I have Penei Sewell. Awesome player. Super athletic. You know, sometimes Dan Campbell and or Ben Johnson, who is their former offensive coordinator, they've even called plays to throw passes to him too, which, you know, didn't really work out. But it just shows how, you know, athletic of a player that he is and how dominant he is as well. Run blocking, pass blocking. Sometimes he might get beat here and there, but usually he's pretty good in that aspect as well. And then for me, number one, just like you, have Tristan Wirfs, because, I mean, he's an all-pro left tackle and an all-pro right tackle. I don't know any other players in the NFL that can play both sides at that high of a level. And like you said, he's super athletic. He shuts down like opposing pass rushers. It doesn't really matter who it is. You know, if you're a star edge rusher, you know, and you're going up against Tristan Wirfs, get ready to go to work, because you're going to have to bring it for every single snap, or else you're going to be erased from the game. So.
That's a great way to put it, exactly. Like, once he gets his hands on you, you're basically cooked. I mean, the guy, it's incredible how good his hand placement is. It's so hard to do that with, you don't know what move's coming, and he still finds a way to get kind of into your armpit-ish area. It's really impressive if you watch his technique again. Offensive line plays, I'm not saying it's the fun, like, the greatest to watch, but he's definitely right there when it comes to that. So I guess moving on to the top five D-line and edge rushers. This is interesting. I really want to know your list. I don't know if we have the same guys. I don't know if we have different people. I'm curious about this one. My honorable mentions were Trey Hendrickson. I don't know if you have him in yours. Don't say anything. You don't have to. It's up to you. But he's in my honorable mention. I know he led the league in sacks. Dexter Lawrence, who I think is incredible, is also my honorable mention. Really underrated. And then Will Anderson, who I think can play both sides really well and also stop the run. But for me, my five, my name might shock you, I got Chris Jones. And I know people were like, oh, maybe a little too low. I think he's super clutch, and he was great last year. I just think, again, like, compared to the other four that I'm going to put ahead of him, I think he plays with, I won't say necessarily a better supporting cast, because one guy on the list has a better supporting cast, but I think it's also beneficial when you play around guys who are, he has a bunch of dogs around him. I think he's very good. I also think sometimes he has these slow spells, where as dominant as he can be in some games, sometimes he's kind of up and down, which is why he's at five for me. As great as he is, and he's a Hall of Fame player, Chris Jones is my five. At four, I got Max Crosby. I got a soft spot in my heart for Max Crosby, because I think he's an absolute dog. Okay, like, I just think he, like, in my opinion, out of all these guys that I'm going to name, I think he has the greatest motor of all these guys. You never see him take a snap off. TJ Watt, sometimes we see the flashes in him. Sometimes Myles Garrett, we see the flashes of him keep going. But those guys get tired every now and then. They look human, which they're human beings. They're supposed to get tired. Max doesn't look tired. Like, it's insane. Every, you know what I'm saying? Like, he played about 96% of the snaps last season. In 2023, he played 98% of the snaps. This guy is insane. What defensive line do you hear playing that many snaps? Like, and he plays the run almost as well as he plays the pass. Like, I just love the guy. He's a great Pro Bowl player. Wish the Packers could have gotten him somehow in a trade. I mean, when that kind of came up, but obviously that was wishful thinking. At three, I got Jalen Carter. Now, I know a lot of people are like, oh, it's a little too high for him. He's only had one really dominant year. I just believe the game-wrecking ability is the best game-wrecking ability I've seen, in my opinion, by a defensive tackle since Aaron Donald. And I know that's kind of crazy to say that this early, but I think he's the best at doing it. Chris Jones wrecks games in the clutch all the time. I've seen him do it consistently. But Jalen Carter, the amount of games he did it this last season was incredible. He saved them from losing to the Rams early in that, you know, in that game, we honestly thought, I was like, okay, looking at that game, it looks good. I don't know, like, the Rams have a chance to win it. Stafford's going to have one of those money drives you were talking about while he's in your top five. He was on the verge of having one of those great Stafford drives, all-time great drives, and Jalen Carter ruins the game. Just absolutely destroys the guard. Just miscommunication, destroys the guard, and the center gets there, sacks Stafford, and that basically ruins the game for them. I mean, the guy's ridiculous. He wrecks the game. As good as that the Eagles' defensive line is, he is the catalyst. He starts it all. He's my number three. At number two, I got TJ Watt. I mean, it's self-explanatory. Five-time Defensive Player of the Year finalist. Has one of those trophies, obviously. 7-time Pro Bowler. He is the scariest. When he's on fire, nobody's better on this list. I think nobody's better in the league. When he is going, you're done. He's the best get-off. It's scary. It honestly is. It's super scary. I always tell you all the time, we always laugh. Remember that shot of him going, like, putting his tongue out, like, after that sack he had against the Cowboys? Like, he's crazy. He's nuts. I don't know what else to say about the guy. He's fantastic. And number one, I have Myles Garrett. Guy's a freak. Freak of nature. I think the tape kind of tells the whole story with him. He plays the run a little bit better than TJ, in my opinion. But then he's also really, really exceptional at the pass. And one thing about him is, as bad a situation has been in Cleveland, he could have easily gave up and threw in the towel. This guy played with two broken bones in his feet, in both feet, sorry, last season. I mean, like, it's to play through all of that and still do what you do every single time, week in and week out, with kind of a bad team around you, kudos to him. So that's my top five list edging out. I just think Myles Garrett is, he's a dog. So I got him right there.
Yeah, no, that's definitely interesting list there. Man, I'm not going to lie, for myself, since honorable mentions, I didn't put him in my top five, but I do have Micah Parsons as an honorable mention. Just because it was, you know, as an athlete, I mean, he's probably the best. I would say, honestly, he's probably the best athlete out of all these guys, considering what he's able to do. I mean, even his rookie year, the Cowboys played him at cornerback for a couple of snaps, and he's holding his own there. So, like, he's a spectacular athlete, amazing pass rusher. I just feel like he needs to improve as a run defender. I think that's his biggest knock, so that's why I have him out of my top five. And then another person, might be a little surprising, is Aiden Hutchinson of the Detroit Lions. Yeah, I don't like the Lions, but I got to give respect for respect, man. He's an awesome player. You know, I hope he comes back from, you know, that injury he suffered last year and just tears it up, man. I think he will. I think he's going to have an awesome year with the Lions. You know, I think he won a one defensive player of the year last year if he didn't get injured. So I got to put him there. And then I guess one more name, Nick Bosa as well. He's been dominant throughout his career ever since he's gotten into the league back in 2019. So I got to put him up there as well. For me at number five, though, my top five, I got Jalen Carter at number five. A little lower than you have him, mainly because of the fact that he's only done it for 2 years. So I have to take, like, the longevity, I guess, into account. But like you mentioned, in terms of game wrecking, he's probably the best game wrecking defensive tackle that there is right now in the NFL. He does it all, you know, even against, I remember when he played, you know, the Packers in the playoffs too, completely just wrecked our offensive line and everything we were trying to do there. So he's an awesome player. I think he's only going to get better. For me at number four, I'm going to go with Max Crosby, just like you as well. I wish the Packers were able to get him. Obviously, that didn't happen. Yeah, you know, he's with the Raiders, who have a pretty good defensive line, you know, around him and everything like that, too. I like what they got, you know, Christian Wilkins there with him to help him out. Malcolm Kuntz, we'll see how he responds from the injury he suffered last year. But, yeah, Max Crosby's he's what they call a dog. You know, he's a absolute monster on the edge there. Can play the run really well and excellent edge rusher as well. So I got him at number four. Then TJ Watt, I got him at number three. Yeah, I think, you know, last year, you know, he had six forced fumbles and 11 sacks. You know, awesome year. I just feel like down the stretch when the Steelers were losing a lot of those games, obviously their offense was really struggling with Russell Wilson, but I feel like, I don't know if he was playing through an injury or what, but TJ Watt didn't really seem like the same player down the stretch as well. And I don't know, he's an awesome player. It's just that, you know, especially in those big time games as well, I just got to put Chris Jones a little bit ahead of him. I got Chris Jones at number two. He's probably, I know Mahomes is Mahomes, and they have Travis Kelce and Andy Reid, but those two Super Bowls against the 49ers in particular, I would say Chris Jones is the biggest reason why that they won those games and that they won those two Lombardi trophies, because the plays that he made in the clutch, that one against Brock Purdy, 2 years ago in that Super Bowl, or last year, I should say, when he just completely blew up that play and, you know, forced the game to go to overtime, right? So he's such a clutch player, and he's a Hall of Famer. I got to put him at number two. And then I got Myles Garrett at number one, just because of his ability to completely wreck the game from anywhere in the defensive line, on the edge. You can line up against the center. He'll do his, you know, through the legs, basketball moves, and get to your quarterback in 2 seconds. So I got to go with Myles Garrett at number one there.
That's a great list. And honestly, I can respect that Chris Jones call. He is, arguably the biggest reason for those, like, two other Super Bowl wins. The guy's literally Mr. Clutch. I don't know what nickname you can give the guy, but captain clutch something, anything to do with clutch, he is it. Like, he might be the most clutch player in the NFL. So, yeah. So, you guys, going on to the linebackers now, the off-ball linebackers. Nothing to do with the edge, just guys who just muck it and kind of get out there. My honorable mentions are real quick. I have Edge Cooper. As honorable mention, I think he'll be in the top five next year. I think maybe even the top three. I think he's that good. You can say I'm biased. I think the guy's ridiculous. I think he would have been defensive rookie of the year. Like, he was right in the conversation in all seriousness. Like, he looked great at when he played and when he was healthy. Like, the guys, I think we got an absolute steal there. And then Zaire Franklin led the league in tackles. The problem with him is coverage. He's really, really bad in coverage, and the Colts were also not a great defense. So him getting all those tackles was probably a representation of how bad the defensive line was. He just had to make a play. But I thought he was very good at what he did. He had to make tackles, or else things would have got a lot worse. So that's where he is for me. At five, I got Bobby Okereke. For me, he flew all over the ball for the Giants. I think, like, again, besides just racking up a bunch of tackles, I feel like that defensive line, and that Giants defense was very underrated last year. That defensive line was getting to people. And they were the reasons why they were kind of in games last year. It was just funny to see them in games. Like, how is this team so close to the Giants game? For those of you who didn't watch, they were in all these different games, and you're wondering why that was happening. Their defense was very good. And again, they had a lot of stable pieces, and I feel like Okereke was very stable on that team. He was a constant force that, right, the defensive line knew they had help in case something was blown, or as long as they filled their gaps, he was there. At four, I have DeMario Davis. He's still doing it at this age. I know he took a bit of a step back over the last couple of years, but, man, that Saints defense, again, another defense that was slightly underrated because of how bad their team was and how bad the organization was playing. And he was still a main catalyst, making plays all over the field, still flying to the ball. I don't know how he's doing it. The dude's got to be over 33, 34 years old. I know he's pretty old, and he's still doing this. It's remarkable. He's a great player. At three, I have Zach Bond. This one might be a little bit surprising. He might be a little higher for some people. He was a big addition to the Eagles' defense. I always thought he made the right play. He was always near the ball, and that's all you can ask for from an offensive linebacker, especially an inside guy. I just think the two guys ahead of him have been doing it for a longer period of time. Again, longevity, like you pointed out. And I think, again, these guys are a bit better at what they do, and I think that if they were on that Eagles' defense, it'd be even scarier. At two, I got Roquan Smith. Again, another guy took a bit of a step back, but I think, again, when you look at all he does for that Ravens' defense, he is the type of player that can really fit almost any mold. You can throw him kind of anywhere into a defense. He fills gaps very well. He's a decent coverage guy. And the number one top thing about him is that he makes a tackle. It's really hard to see him pulling a tackle. If he gets his hands on you, you're going down. At number one, shouldn't be surprised to anybody, it's Fred Warner. The guy had a broken foot all last season. He had some kind of ligament injury. He still led the league in tackle. Led the team in tackles. Still all-pro guy. I don't know what to say about the guy, man. It's ridiculous. Like, everyone basically, when people were giving up and guys in his locker room were Devondre Campbell or, you know, leaving and saying, I don't want to do this anymore and all that stuff, he was still performing day in and day out. Fred Warner's ridiculous. He's the best in the game. Argue with the wall if you don't agree with me for that one. I don't know how you look at it any differently. He's the best in the game.
Yeah, Fred Warner, he's a beast. That's for sure. Man, for me, my two honorable mentions, I think, might be a little surprising, and they're both from the NFC North. First, I'm going to go with Blake Cashman from the Minnesota Vikings. I don't know what it was. I feel like last year with the Vikings, every time I was watching them play, he was making, like, tremendous, tremendous plays in coverage or stopping the run. And I think I saw a stat, too, because I know the Vikings last year, obviously, they were 14-3. And I think with him in the lineup, I think their record was, like, I don't know, I think it was, like, 13-1, 13-2. I think the only losses, I know they lost to the Lions twice. And he was in the lineup for both of those. But other than that, like, when he was in the lineup for them, they were dominant. So I got to go with him there as an honorable mention. And he was good the year before that, too, with the Texans as well, under D'Amico Ryans. And then my other honorable mention is Alex Anzalone from the Detroit Lions. He's been a really solid player for the last few years, even with the Saints back, you know, a few years ago. And now in Detroit, we saw last year when he was injured, when he went down, how big of a loss that was for the Lions defense. Obviously, they had a lot of injuries, and he was a part of that. But he's really good in coverage, and he also does a good job of stopping the run. Very smart player as well. Does a good job of getting the defense, you know, ready in those positions. So I got to go with him at number as my honorable mention there. But at number five, I'm a little biased. I'm not going to be honest, but I got Edgen Cooper at number five. This is projecting a lot, you know, obviously assuming he's going to have a great year this year, but he was all over the field. You know, watching on that Packers defense, especially that game they played against the Vikings, the amount of plays that he made against them. I know for sure, Vikings head coach Kevin O'Connell was going, oh my goodness, what do I have to do to, you know what I mean, get away from this guy? Because he was making every single tackle. You can use him as a pass rusher. You know, I think the area he needs to improve on a little bit is his coverage. Not horrible in coverage, but I think he can definitely improve in that aspect. But another year under his belt with, you know, Jeff Hafley and the Packers, I think he can continue to get better. I have Matt Milano at number four. A little controversial because he's really been injured these last 2 years. Hasn't played a lot of football. But when he's been on the field, he's been a big difference to that Bills defense. It's just a different Bills defense when he's on the field. Without him, I mean, they get carved up pretty easily, you know. And with him on the field, you can just see that notable difference. Even against the Ravens in that division around playoff game, he was a big reason why they were able to win that game. Because he made some key plays on Lamar Jackson, you know, to force even a turnover or two or something like that. So he was pretty good in that game. I got my number four. Number three, I'm going to go with Zach Bond as well. Just like you, he was awesome last year in Philadelphia. Going from an edge player to off-ball linebacker and doing what he did. You know, finished fifth in defensive player of the year voting too. I feel like he should have been a little higher based on the season he had. I mean, 152 total tackles, 3.5 sacks, 5 forced fumbles, 4 pass deflections, and an interception. And then in the playoffs too, he had a couple of interceptions, including one in the Super Bowl. So I got to go with him there. Roquan Smith is my second best off-ball linebacker. Like you said, awesome player. Little step back from 2023, just like most of that Ravens defense, to be honest. But still really good, still an awesome player. Makes all the plays, especially tackling-wise. And then, obviously, number one, Fred Warner. I'm kind of speechless. I don't really know what else to say. He's probably in my top 10 players overall in the NFL. He's that good, so I got to go with Fred Warner there.
So now moving on to our defensive backs, last but not least, the DBs. Honorable mention, I don't really want to get into too many. I have too many names here, so I'm just going to be really quick with them. I got Kirby Joseph, who led the league in picks. I got Xavier McKinney, who was second in picks. I got Jalen Johnson, who was a really good corner. And I got Quinion Mitchell, who was exceptional as a rookie. An exceptional period. So I'll leave it at that. There's just too much to get in with those guys. As great as they are, I feel like they're a little bit beyond below these people. At five might be interesting to some of you guys. I think especially even to you. I got Brian Branch at five over Kirby and Xavier McKinney. I think Brian Branch is arguably the best safety, if not the best box safety in the NFL. I think he does all the dirty work for Kirby. Kirby can stay back and kind of pick his way and do what he wants down there or kind of up the field and take chances. Brian does all the dirty work. He's the guy flying everywhere. He's near the box. He's going this way, going sideline to sideline. He had 109 tackles last year, second team in tackles. 16 pass deflections and 8 tackles for loss. Also had a sack. The guy, like, the fact that he's not getting all these accolades, again, is because he's a quiet dude. Doesn't really, it's not all about the picks with him, and I get that. But, man, he does all the true dirty work for the Lions, and he's the one truly that pops out the screen for me on that defense. He's just so dynamic. I love the way he plays, and that's why he's my fifth guy. At four, I got Christian Gonzalez. A guy, I think he's Mr. Lockdown. Last year, I think the injuries the last couple games of the season really derailed what would have been an incredible season for him. He was still second-team All-Pro, somehow didn't get a Pro Bowl vote, because, again, he plays in the Patriots defense, people don't care. But he was second-team All-Pro, so the voters and the football watchers were watching. This guy was incredible. What he was doing, like number twos and number ones, was ridiculous, right? Like, I can get through all the stats, but let's just say he held Devontae Smith to basically nothing. He held Garrett Wilson to nothing. A.J. Brown struggled against him. Right, and he had one touch. I think one nice catch against him, but other than that, nothing really. Tyreek Hill did absolutely nothing against him in both games. Like I'm talking about, he had a pick, 0 catches, and 0 yards against Tyreek Hill. Like he was dynamic, dominant. He gets in your face, grid jammer guy, has the size. He's great. At three, I got Derek Stingley Jr., arguably the best corner in the league last season. Just unfortunately, someone else had a better year. First team All Pro. He was Mr. Lockdown, strapped basically everyone he went against. Really, really key player. The only guy I saw giving problems was Brian Thomas Jr. Guy that's going to easily be, I think, in our top five next year for wideouts or skill players or whatever. But that's how good Derek Stingley was last year. He's a very exceptional player. At number two, I got Kyle Hamilton. Kyle Hamilton, to me, again, took a step back, just like we said before, with the Roquan and the Ravens defense. But I think that's because he had to play kind of deep-range safety all the time and didn't really get to fly around and move around like he always likes to do. Now with Malachi Starks getting drafted by them, he can move everywhere. He doesn't have to always guard the tight end, which is not really his skill. He's not really a pure man coverage guy. Now he gets to fly around and be himself again. And 2 years ago, I think we're going to get more of that version going forward with Kyle Hamilton. And that's going to show you why he's the best safety in the NFL, in my opinion. And at number one, got Pat Surtain. He's the best in the game. First team All Pro, Defensive Player of the Year. You basically set it and forget it with him. It's not really one side of the field with him. It's the receiver. If he's guarding the receiver man to man, that receiver is basically out of the equation. I mean, he's exceptional, man. The size, skill. So many guys covet, and so many teams, sorry, covet to get that guy on their team. Get a guy like Pat Surtain. And that's why guys are so big on Will Johnson before his injuries, because that's the kind of mold you want. 6'2 plus corner with the size. I think Kyle Hamilton will be, Christian Gonzalez will be right there with Pat Surtain in a year, in my opinion. That's my hot take. But that's what you want in a corner. Nice size, good length. You want him to be fast. Pat Surtain fills all the measurables. He has all, basically all the fundamentals you want in a corner. And yeah, he's just flat out ridiculous.
Yeah, no. Pat Surtain, he's a amazing player. I thought it was interesting as well. That you had, who was it? It was Kyle Hamilton at number two.
Yeah.
Number two, yeah. He's, I mean, I don't know. I feel like this year especially, we're going to see him kind of return to that 2023. Like, not to say he was bad last year. He was good last year. But I feel like in 2023, he was just so, so dominant. And then that's why last year when he had like a small drop-off, it was, like, still kind of noticeable. But I think this year, even, like, when they got Malachi Starks, the Ravens did in the draft, I like that a lot. I think that, like you said, it's going to allow him to kind of play his, you know, play everywhere again and really unlock that for Ravens defense. I guess Marma mentions I got three guys. Jesse Bates for the Falcons. Sauce Gardner. I know last year was not, you know, a great year, but, you know, still, I still think about his rookie year and what he did that year. I feel like he can reach that again with Aaron Glenn now being their head coach. And then I got Devon Witherspoon from the Seattle Seahawks. I think he's an incredible player. Yeah, he can play in the slot, play outside. He does it all. So I got him there. Number five, Kirby Joseph. I got to go with him there. You made a really good case for Brian Branch being at number five. And I completely get why you had Brian Branch at number five. I just feel like Kirby Joseph, you know, his ability to make those game-changing plays. Not to say Brian Branch doesn't make game-changing plays too, but Joseph just does a great job of making those plays. Obviously, 9 interceptions, led the league. So I gotta go with him there. Still not the best safety in the NFC North, but I'll get to him in a second. Derek Stingley Jr., I got him number four there. Like you said, lockdown corner, does it all. 5 interceptions last year, 18 pass deflections. Even the playoffs, he had 2 interceptions, including a pick six off of Justin Herbert as well. So he's an awesome player for Houston there, one of the franchise players there. Number three, I'm going to go with Kyle Hamilton. Kind of talked about already. I just think he's an awesome player. I think this year he's going to go back to being that first team All-Pro player that he was a couple years back. I got Xavier McKinney at number two. Again, I'm not going to lie. There's definitely some bias a little bit there, but just looking at what he's able to do with the Packers last year, 8 interceptions, 11 pass deflections as well, and kind of really set the tone for the defense. You know, he looked like he was always in the right place at the right time, which obviously you got to give credit to the teammates, his teammates as well, but I just think he did a really good job of doing that. His preparation as well, after every single game, he would ask Jeff Hafley, the head coach or defense coordinator for the Packers, just for the, you know, tape on the next opponent that they're going to play the next week. So his preparation is on point as well. And then number one, I got Pat Surtain. Like you said, if he's getting a receiver, that receiver's out of the game. Don't even bother looking at their stats. It's going to be 0-0-0 in the box score there. So, yeah, I got to go. Pat Surtain is my number one corner. Has the reigning defensive player of the year.
Yeah, it's tough with the safeties. I get, like, they all can have arguments and cases. Like, I guess, like, in terms of Branch, McKinney, and Joseph, like, it's tough. It depends on what you like. I guess the picks are huge, and Kirby Joseph seems to be around the ball more than anybody, so I guess the guy also has to be in the equation. His IQ is probably off the charts, so I guess that. It's tough, I guess, with these guys, because it depends on what you value, I guess, more in terms of, like, if you want just someone stable there or someone steady. The Malachi Starks thing, one more time, I guess, with Kyle Hamilton stuff, the biggest addition is Kirby Smart said that one thing about Malachi Starks. He said the only guy that could guard Brock Bowers one-on-one in practice was Malachi Starks. So Kyle Hamilton, who's not great in man coverage, right? And to be honest, not the greatest coverage overall guy. Now, all of a sudden, you can throw a guy like that back there, and Kyle Hamilton can kind of just roam and do whatever he wants. And when he's at his peak, you can argue he's number one. Like, he's that good. That 2023 was ridiculous. It didn't matter what he did. But then again, as good as the 2023 was, if you remember, his demise was guarding Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce killed him. in the championship game 2 years ago. So now you have a guy who can kind of do that for you. It changes everything, right? It's definitely super interesting with these guys. There's a lot of good compelling cases for all these guys, in my opinion.
All right, so that would do it, guys, for second episode of the Astros podcast. A lot of fun here breaking down our top five players at all these positions. A lot of guys that missed the cut easily could have made it. It's just, you know, speaks to how much talent there is in the league right now, obviously. So it's a lot of fun putting these lists together. I know it was for you, Peter, as well. And yeah, we're looking forward to see you guys in the next episode.